And I know that you're familiar in some liturgical churches with prayers and creeds that are read. And someone took the time to write a modern creed in a song, and I love it. So I wanted us to stand together and just start today on the right note by reciting this creed together. Thanks, Ray. I'll lead you. We'll read it real slow. And here we go. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I'm forgiven. The future is sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. All the chains are released. I can sing, I am free. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet an I. Hear me. Thank you. You may be seated. If you're wondering what we're all about in this building, that's it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In him, through him, to him are all things. He is the creator of the universe. He is the Father, Shepherd, Friend, the great I am. And we approach the scriptures, we have to be cognizant of the fact that Jesus himself said, you, to the Pharisees, you diligently study the scriptures. And we do that here well. But he said, in them, in these scriptures, you think you're in eternal life. But these are they, these scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, this Old Testament, Jesus said, it's all about me. And after his resurrection, he sat down with a couple of young guys, looked him in the eye, and it said, he opened the scriptures. That would have been a scroll he rolled out. Genesis to Malachi. And he told them everything concerning him. Can you imagine that small group conversation? Jesus opening the scriptures and saying, I'm on every page. And those boys said, didn't our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures? And then he broke the bread. Ah, they saw him and he disappeared. Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, we know it's not us, but Jesus. In and through our lives. Would you give us understanding as your word is spoken to us? Thank you for the grace that's available in Christ, that we can rest in his accomplishment on us and walk in newness of life. You're such a great Father. We're thankful for your presence today. May we be still and know that you're God. I pray you would speak to the need in our own heart that you alone know. Lead us in the way everlasting for your name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. While you're turning to Judges 13, we're going to jump into the book of Judges. And it's a bumpy. You remember some of them? We're going to start with the most popular guy named Samson, and then we're going to get into some of the others. It's a pretty bumpy ride. But do you remember some of the judges? Name some of the ones that you're familiar with. Close. Ehud's my favorite. You'll hear of him soon. Left-handed justice. Ehud. It's pretty crazy stuff. Ehud took a sword and drove it into his king and sort of won that battle on his own. It's pretty nasty. This is the stuff you teach at summer camp to crazy 12 to 14-year-old boys. So get ready. Ehud, Othniel, Elon. Sorry if that triggers anyone. There's Jephthah and Deborah and Gideon we got to talk about. Gideon's interesting. Gideon's a really weak man who God makes strong. Today we're going to talk about a really strong man who becomes very weak. And we know that in our weakness, he is strong. Speaking of weakness, my condolences go out to the Buffalo Bill fans. I'm sensitive to your pain. I know you're mourning today, and the Denver Bronco fans, you're all excited. That's fine. And those of you who don't care about football, even better. Last week, we took a beautiful look into the God who sees. We like to look into the scriptures and analyze them and look to what God would have to say in here, which is important. But it's also important to let this book eyes you. To let the God who sees you open up your heart and whisper into your ear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I'd like to make some changes. I'd like you to make that phone call, talk to that person." It's going to be easy to be judges because they're really frail people. Really easy to beat up on the judges and analyze them and say, "Wow, I'd never do that." Very important to let the judges analyze you and me so we can change and be ever more conformed into the image of Christ. Three ways to live your life, Frank Sinatra style. I did it my way. I call it your will, your way. You make the decision. You build your future. You get the job, the car, the house, the wife, the picket fence, the cottage, the multiple properties, and you just live happily ever after. A lot of people do that. That's the dream, right? That's the American dream. Or you can do God's will, God's way. And Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, called to the cruciformed life, says, "Not my will, but yours be done." I would like to live in comfort and peace and joy. And Jesus is honest. Is there another way? Can I get to the ultimate relationship with you, God himself, without the suffering? No. I grew up with that statement, old men or big boys don't cry. Well, yesterday, thanks to our brother Ray Sargent, we had 40 men at the breakfast, and I think we were all pretty. Ray gave us a beautiful testimony of a cruciformed life. A life that says, "I'll give up my life and go into Cambodia to minister to those who can't even get to a hospital, whose wounds and pain are so deep that most of them just die or live with their condition." And Ray's brother has committed his life to this beautiful ministry that you'll end up hearing about. And one man gave his testimony. He had a stroke and was severely disfigured. And for 2 years, this beautiful human being was confined to a bed because his brother didn't know what to do. In come these godly people. They talked to him about Jesus. He comes to Christ, and he's got a walker. Now he's got a little cane, and he's moving well. He's out of bed, and he's giving testimony and thanking God for the people who saved him and the God who was with who changed his life. And this man's testimony was so profoundly beautiful. He wept and he wept and he wept because he was so thankful. They live in the slum near the city. And they live on and in people's garbage. Sometimes it's important to go to a dump and just walk around and understand that some people don't live in beautiful places like this. Your will, your way. God's will, God's way. The road of suffering. And finally, this happens all the time in Scripture, and Samson's life is a demonstration of this. I call this God's will, your way. God says, Abraham, I'm a son. God said things to you. We have people who don't know Jesus outside of Christ in our circle. Maybe you're here and you couldn't read that statement that we just read with a song in your heart because you might not know Jesus. This could be the day Jesus whispers into your heart, come home. Come home. God says to Abraham, literally and verbally, I am going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you a son. Hang in there. Check out the stars of the sky. That's how great it's going to be. And Abraham waits like most of us do, and we can have a dream that is unfulfilled. I remember well, 20 years old, wanting to get married. No one would marry me. That's pretty easy to figure out. And when I was 48 years old, I married Julia, and I thought, wow, that was worth the wait. And that's a good place to go, yay. Abraham's waiting. They get a little irritated with the situation, like you and I, when things don't go our way. And finally, Sarah, his wife, just says to him, listen, you know, it's cultural, it's normal. The maidservant, why don't you have a child with her? Her name is Hagar, means to flee or to run. Abraham's name means exalted father. Pretty tough to walk around town as the exalted father and you don't have any children. God's will and God's timing are very different things. And here Abraham says, I know what your will is, but I'll look after the timing. I'll look after the timing. Watch our political class. Watch our countries. Watch what they do to force things to happen. God's will, your way. So Hagar ends up with Abraham. They have a son named Ishmael. She's thrilled. Ishmael means God's. It's a mistake. You and I make big mistakes, but God can bend those out for his will. So he says, relax, Sarah. Relax, Ishmael. I'll make you a great nation too. Sarah and Hagar fight, as we mentioned last week. And Hagar, good to her name, runs away. She runs away. Her name is the one who flees. However, God, good to his name, because he's the one who pursues. He may find you in a beautiful home in Mount Forest, Durham, Southgate. He may find you in a slum in Cambodia. But he is the hound of heaven, as the poet says, that pursues every person that's been created, made, formed. We talked about that last week. Created ex nihilo, out of nothing. Made sun, moon, stars. Formed, fabricated for purpose. Destiny, and God says, Hagar, relax. I can work here. She gets so excited that she's seen the Lord in the person of the angel of the Lord, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And she says, you, plural, atah, you, plural, are the Elohim, which is plural, who sees ro'i, who sees me. For I have seen ra'ah, the one who sees me, ro'i. Beautiful poetry in the Hebrew. Moses approaches God, and God says, you can't see my face and live. Exodus 33, you can't see the face of God and live, but God's face shines in the life and the light of Christ. So when it goes up to Hagar, the Bible says. That is why the wellspring was called Ber Lahai Rohi Hine. They add Hina. We can talk about that in a sec. This is the wellspring of the living one who sees me. The living God who sees you right now. In your circumstance. That could be incredibly joyful. And if you're having a great season in life, we rejoice with you. If you're like most of us and you have deep pain, we remember that and we come alongside like the Spirit of God. So she says, this is the wellspring of the living one who sees me. And they use the word behold. And this word is amazing. Hina is the Hebrew, if you're a linguist, demonstrative of particle, whatever that is, that the English versions translate behold. Okay, you know the word behold. Pops up often. It draws the reader or the hearer's attention to something about to be stated, a sudden appearance, a divine speech or narrative. Always speaks of the divine. Hina is more than a stylistic flourish. It's a theological spotlight. Thanks, Mark, for that image. Mark always encourages me and says, you shine a light on the scriptures. Hina, behold, look, is more than a stylistic flourish. It's a spotlight that commands attention. And it always refers to the acts and the words of a covenant, relational, personal God. So when John steps out in his camel's hair, honey dripping from the face, few locusts in the teeth, and says, behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sirs, we would see Jesus, they disciples. We beheld his glory, says John. Behold the Lamb. The God who sees you. We're going to get to Judges, but I got to lay some flooring here to manage this. The next day, John was there again. This is John chapter 1, just hang in me. Two of his disciples, when they saw. Bible always plays on the word hear and see, hear and see, hear and see. When they saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him, they followed him. And turning around, when they were following Jesus, Jesus said, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying? Cultural, we want you to come over. He replied, you come with me, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him, and it was in the afternoon. Now, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard him say, heard John say, follow me. First thing Andrew did, found his brother Simon. We found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and they brought him to Jesus. And then Jesus, the next day, leaving for Galilee, says to Philip, follow me. And they just follow. He's gathering young men. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael asked, I love this, really, can anything good come from Nazareth? It's like, really, from Hamilton? Yeah. Amen. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael, this is when it gets really exciting. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here, behold, Hina, look, here's a guy, here's a person, an Israelite, in whom there's no deceit. Nathanael said, how do you know me? Here it comes. Jesus said, I saw you. Bible scholars, where did Jesus see Nathanael? He was sitting under the? Yes. You ever wonder what's going on there, friends? Why? What's the big deal with the fig tree? I thought about it this week and went, well, let's go find out. Pretty cool. Micah 4:4. Micah 4:4. Everyone, when the Messiah comes to make all things new. When God comes in person, everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. Zechariah 3:10. Zechariah 3:10. And on that day, says the Lord of the heavens, isn't it neat when everybody's worried about nuclear weapons and armed conflict that we serve the Lord of the heavenly hosts? Elisha says to his servant, just hang in a minute. I'm going to get God to open your eyes. And he looks up, huge army in front of him that's scaring him to death. And God says, the servant says, just look up. And he sees the heavenly host. We're surrounded right now by the heavenly host. When you declared that Christ is in you, the demonic hordes who come into this building said, okay, we can't bother with it, because they will never acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They flee. They hate that. That's why we talk about Jesus, because we don't want demons hanging around here. By the way, they love coming to church and lying and confusing people. Zechariah 3:10, on that day, says the Lord of the heavenly armies, you will invite your neighbor, hospitality people, to sit with you peacefully under your own grapevine and fig tree. Is that cool? Do you know that?
No.
I didn't either. Isn't that exciting? But Cindy, I didn't know this week. But doesn't it just, your heart burns within you? The messianic hope was prophesied with the symbol of a tree, all going to enjoy this. And Nathaniel has a quiet time every day alone where no one can see him under a tree, hoping the Messiah is going to come one day. And he's doing his devotions in the morning. Like my boy Kristen there, getting up real early. I love it. And Jesus looks at him and says, I know you. I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael, man, this is a declaration of truth. He says, Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Are you as hopeful as Nathanael on the return of Jesus? Because he ain't coming to sit under a fig tree, sports fans. I went to a Catholic church in Quebec. They actually had it right. They got this huge gold statue of Jesus. He's got his cross. He's got his sword. It's funny because he's really jacked. It looks like he's been squatting. No offense, Jesus, but his quad's out here, and it looks like a 36-inch football quad, because they read Revelation, and he's coming back with a tattoo on his thigh and a sword to redeem and to fix the mess that you and I think about when we think about our world right now. Isn't that great? Jesus said to Nathanael, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things. You'll see greater things. You will see heaven open, angels of God ascending and descending. Remember Jacob? Same thing. We sang the song, We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder. This is a vision. It's a staircase, actually, not a ladder. It's a staircase to heaven. And she's buying. Sorry. That's where they ripped off that line. A stairway to heaven. I'm not a rock star. I'm not even going to go there. But the idea of Jesus says, you're going to see me ascending and descending, ascending and descending. And Nathanael goes, you're the one we've been waiting for. Rewind to the Judges, which is characterized by two verses at the beginning and the end. In the days of the Judges, everyone did what was wonderful. Everyone did, for those who are on cast, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There was no king. I make it simple. The Dan Horn version, no king. They did their own thing. No king in Israel. They did what they wanted to do. Judges 13, if you're there, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord So the Lord, not God, Yahweh, covenant, friend, intimate, personal God. That's Lord. When you see God, it's Elohim. That's could be God, gods. It's just the general term. And then they sometimes say Elohim, Yahweh, the Lord God. The Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Ouch. Did you hear that? God delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. Why would God deliver his own people into the hands of their enemies? Yeah. Interesting. God is sovereign, and sometimes he doesn't punish us because the punishment has been always put on Jesus on the cross, but he, as a good dad, will discipline. And the pattern in Judges points to you and I in our walk with God: obedience, blessing, worship, comfortable, decline, let's just be like everybody else, and the downward journey into sin, and God has to rescue his people because they cry out for help when he turns them over. Samson is a judge. He is a deliverer. He is God's man in a time when things are really ugly to help God's people. He's not like Alan Watley, a beautiful, kind Sunday school teacher. We're not sending Alan into battle, and we're not sending Samson to teach her. God takes flawed, failing, sinful people to rescue his people when they're disobedient. And if God doesn't use flawed, failing, sinful people, there's no one left, friend, because we're all in that camp. We're going to pick on Samson, but realize we all got a little bit of Samson in us. And the good news about Samson is, in the middle of no king in Israel, everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes, God speaks to Samson's mom and dad. The God who sees them comes to them. And Samson is mentioned in Hebrews 11. How about that? Faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance of things not seen. The ancients were commended for faith. And he goes on to talk about Abraham and Enoch and Joshua and Moses and all the great people of faith. And then he says, and I don't have time to talk about Samson, Jephthah, Samuel, Gideon, Barak. He lists a bunch of judges in Hebrews 11. And they're all a little messy. And then David, who's messy too. Through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised. God says, Samson, to his parents, he's going to begin the deliverance of Israel. As messy as he is, Samson does God's will his way. We'll find that out in the coming weeks. He quenched the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies, whose weakness was turned into strength. I know when often when you hear they routed foreign armies, they went into battle, you all kind of maybe picture, you know, Middle Earth and clashing of battle. Most of you won't war physically, but every day you go to war spiritually. So when you hear battle in these contexts, think about the armor of God that you need to put on every day to withstand the onslaughts of Satan. He's alive and well on planet Earth, and if you haven't noticed, he's getting his way in many corners of the world. But greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. When you hear the word judge in this context of Samson, friends, don't think of courtroom, law, jury, cases, adjudication. Don't think of that. A judge in the Old Testament is a military deliverer come to protect and preserve God's people. Don't forget, in the biggest messes on planet Earth in the Old Testament, God is preserving a family line to give birth to the Messiah so we can sit under our own fig tree and behold the Lamb. Don't forget that. The Old Testament's messy. Some of you look at it and go, oh, this is so awful. Well, because sin, unchecked, is terrible. Decisions matter. God allows you and I to make decisions. And when they get to the point where Tower of Babel, we'll make a name, we'll change the world, God intervenes. Sodom and Gomorrah intervenes. Noahic covenant, every thought of their hearts all the time was only evil. God intervenes. And trust me, friends, when the AI monster takes over, which some of you are a little bit nervous about, don't worry. If the world gets too bad, God always intervenes. He always looks for an individual. Chronicles. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking for someone who's fully devoted to him. I'll repeat that. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth. Chronicles 16:9. Looking for a heart that is perfect in the King James, perfect towards him. Not a perfect person, but a heart that says, here I am, send me, use me. You can do that today. Moses said to the people, listen, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Love the Lord your God. Walk in obedience, keep his commands. I will leave you on your own land. Fig trees, honey, everything's flowing, there's prosperity. And in Joshua 24, we will serve the Lord. We will obey, we will be faithful. So the people are on a great trajectory. So the good news, Judges 2:7, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. And the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Exodus, redemption, water from the rock, manna from heaven, guided by the pillar. They had seen it all, and they obeyed. And they were close in their walk with God. Bad news, Judges 2:10. After that generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he'd done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, served Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them into the land of Egypt, and they followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them, Baals, Ashtaroth. And that worship involved sexual immorality, sacrifice of children, crazy, crazy, crazy. And the hand of the Lord delivered them into the hand of their enemies. The judge's timeline is 350 years. 14 judges, 350 years of this. Obey and disobey. Obey or disobey. Deliver. It's this pattern. And it all points to the ultimate deliverer, Jesus, who will come and clean up the whole mess. Again, the Israelites, Judges 13, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. Very reminiscent of Daniel 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Your decisions matter, my decisions matter. Stay close to Jesus. If God does discipline you, and you feel the Lord doing something in your life that's drawing you back to him, realize he's a good father. And Hebrews says, a good father always plans his kids. We don't say to our children, you live your will, your way, go have fun. We bring our children in. What a thrill to see all those kids. Some of you young people, we want to grow with you. We want you to help us become more like Christ. We want to help you become more like Christ. Thank you for being here. It means a lot. I'm praying every day, Lord, fill this place up the little ones, the little one over there, and just we'll together figure out how to manage them. My son, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't lose heart when he rebukes you. The Lord disciplines every son he loves. That's Hebrews 12. And the people of God have been disciplined. And then God says, I'm looking for a man, a woman, a little girl, a little boy to stand in the gap. Young men, young women, my brothers, I read this when I was young. Go to this poem, it's beautiful. When you hear the word man, it means all of us. The poem says, give me a man of God, one man. Little girl, little boy, old man, old woman, doesn't matter. Whose faith is master of his mind. And I will right all wrongs and bless the name of all mankind. Give me an individual, one individual. Whose tongue is touched with heaven's fire, and I will flame the darkest hearts with high resolve and clean desire. Give me an individual, one mighty prophet of the Lord. I'll give you peace on earth, bought with a prayer, not a sword. I hate war, man. It's awful. Give me a man of God, one man, true to the vision that he sees, and I will build your broken shrines and bring the nations to their knees. Lord, may it be so. May it be so. May they beat their weapons into plowshares. May the evil one not have his way in these wars. May your Prince of Peace intervene. So the Lord would raise up judges. And I read this week, and it reminded me of the grace of the Lord. Psalm 103, you see people disobeying and in the middle of their sinful patterns. And Psalm 103 says, he, God, does not treat us according to what our sins deserve. He doesn't repay us because of our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear, reverence, awe, honor him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. If you confess your transgressions to the Lord and said, take it. Take my sin, just remove it from my life. As a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on all of us who fear him. He knows how we are formed. Yatzar. It's all over the scriptures. I love that word. Purpose. Destiny. He knows. He knows. Even if you're Samson, who makes the stupidest decisions on record, but he's got a great mom and dad. I'll close. Sorry, guys. I'm going on, but here I'm excited. He's got a great mom and dad. What's his mom's name? Trick question. We don't know. She's not named. Dad's name? Robert. 10 points for Robbie. Manoah. It means rest. You remember Noah. His life is not restful, not peaceful, and not stable like maybe some of ours. But the angel of the Lord doesn't go to Manoah. The angel of the Lord again goes to his wife, like Hagar, Elizabeth, Hannah, thing woman. God comes to her and says, you're going to have a son. And she says, okay. Runs to Manoah and says, Manoah, I've seen the God who sees. And Manoah's not sure what to do. So you need to come back next week and find out what Manoah does, because it's exciting. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this incredible story. of humans just like us, doing best, making decisions, falling, failing. Thank you so much more, Lord Jesus, that you are the God who sees and says, behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Lord Jesus, help us to keep our focus. Help us to behold in reverence, in fear, in joy, in celebration, the Lamb, Jesus our Lord. May we confess every day, not I, but through Christ who lives in me. We are excited to be part of your family, and would you walk us great dad. Amen. As the praise team comes, speaking of dads, Caroline, you're going to love this. My dad calls to pray over the service every week. And I said, Dad, 29th, it's seniors with Caroline and Dave and all my dad's friends. My dad goes, yes, I'm loving the seniors moments. We got a new name for the seniors group. Seniors moments. Seniors moments and meals.
Could everyone please stand and join us with jubilation in your steps as we just sing this beautiful song. Just sing loud.
we'll be looking forward to that day when he comes back, because he is coming back, by the way, like on a white horse with a sword, white linen, FYI, guy shows up for battle in white linen, don't fight that guy. Be that guy's friend, comes back, you'll be so thrilled because you'll know him so well, you will not be surprised. It will not be like a thief in the night. But for you, for those who know, way to heaven with the presence of God in your life every minute of every day. Enjoy your day. Walk with Jesus. We'll see you soon. Thanks, Mercy.